Once again, I want to say good morning and thank you for joining us, for being here and letting us be a part of your life. Thank you for those that are online. I really appreciate this opportunity for us to be able to worship together, even though we're not in the same room. This morning, I want to share with you just a couple of things that come from Colossians chapter 3. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open there. And as we get started, as you're looking for that, let me just share with you a couple things for us as family. Number one, encourage you to be a part of our adult Bible class. Starting next Sunday, TJ and Owen are going to be leading us through a discipleship study. I think it will be a great encouragement for us. And so if you haven't been a part of a Bible class, if you've been participating with the elders in their study these last few weeks, or if you're ready to get started, come and be a part of this starting at 9 a.m. next Sunday morning. Great things are happening. And so on October 30th, we're going to be having our trunk or treat. We're inviting in our friends and family to come and be a part of this. And we need a few more trunks who are going to participate. Just open up your trunk, maybe put a few decorations. We've got the candy for you. So come and be a part of that. Let us just encourage our neighborhood and our friends and family, and it'll be a great blessing. I also want to introduce to you, if you haven't met already, the McGraths sitting right over here. They are wanting to place membership to work and to worship with us. And so Rachel McGrath with her three children, Seth, I don't believe is here today, but two daughters, Eleanor and Coraline, are here. And so make sure to take some time to get to know them and welcome them to the South Fork family. Two more things real quick. Number one, this last week, I've learned a repeated lesson of this strange time that we've been going through has been a blessing in so many ways. We have learned as a church leadership to deal with some things that used to happen when only we were together. And so last week, we had a couple elders who were out of town, Skyping in and or Zooming in and having a meeting. We had a couple of deacons who were out of town and who are still taking care of business. And I just sat in my office Thursday or Friday and realized how awesome it is that we have the technology in place at this time. With just a cell phone or with just a laptop, we are able to connect regardless of where people are. With a tech crew back there, we've got people who are joining us online this morning for worship. How awesome it is. Sometimes we get so frustrated or disgruntled with the situation that we overlook the positives of really what is happening. And so I'm just thankful for the technology, but I'm also thankful for our elders and our deacons who continue to serve even though life is kind of sporadic and seeming to be haphazard. I appreciate that. If you don't, if you haven't noticed that, I pray that you'll be drawn to see that the work is continuing on. I pray that you will give some word of encouragement, send a card or a phone call to our men and to our families that are leading our congregation. What a great blessing they are. Last but not least, I mentioned last week that our search process for our youth minister is going well. We've had a good number of candidates apply, and we are weeding those down. We are trying to process through what is the right fit for our congregation. And it is interesting. As we go through this time, we continue to hear this, let's raise the bar. We want to have more action and education. We want our youth to be involved in these types of things. We want our families to connect in these sorts of ways. And the families are really drawing in and raising the bar for our congregation. At the same time, our candidate level just continues to rise and rise. And as we get to look at these excellent candidates, I pray that you will give us your prayers and your time as we try to make a final decision and help our congregation move forward in this process. Now, Colossians chapter 3. As we look at this, I want us to see something this morning. And truly, I kind of wanted to skim over this. There's a couple ways in which a lot of times the ministers come to chapter 3, and I think we can dive into some of the weeds, or we can take some of these things and we can build a big case, and we kind of miss the big point. But to me right now, the big point is this two-letter word, me. That we've been talking about Christ in me. And I hope all the fingers that you have right now are just pointed to you. I hope that you will see that this message, this chapter, just draws your attention as a mirror would this morning as you're getting ready to see who you really are in the greatness of what God declares you to be, in the sin and the selfishness in which we hold on to so unfortunately. And this morning, I've got to share with you some things that have been pointing at me. And I love it when I get to come up here and tell y'all about all my successes and all the ways that God has been working and blessing my life and ways that I just feel like I get to shine bright. And I kind of want to skip those Sundays in which the lesson points to me. But really, it does. And if you get nothing else out of this, please know, Christ in me changes my life. Continually changes my life. And if you ever feel like Matt Huddleston or any other minister that might be working here or serving here or at a church where you might later attend if God moves you on to a different city and a different location, if you ever feel like whoever's standing before you feels like they have somehow navigated through life and figured out all the answers and they've got it all wrapped up in a nice, shiny bow, pull them out of there. This morning, I just want to tell you that I've got some fingers pointing at me. And I hope you'll hear what Paul writes 2,000 years ago is still powerful and important for us today. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Look at these first four verses with me. Listen, this is to us. This is to me. Since then, you, Matt, you've been raised with Christ. You've set your heart on things above where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Matt, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For Matt, you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I want to ask you, when you think about your spiritual life, when you think about who you are, when you look into that spiritual mirror, when you see who you are, when you read this, does this reflect really that Christ is in you and that you are in Christ? Or when you look at the spiritual mirror, do you sometimes see the doubt, the failure, the mistakes that you have? The things that might have happened yesterday or on the way to church even. The things that might have happened 5, 10, 15 years ago that are still holding you down and grabbing hold of your identity. And that is who you think you are, even though you have been raised with Christ, because you've been buried with Christ, because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. And there's this war for who you really are and what your identity really is. This morning, I want to draw our attention to this heart check, this eye examination that we might have for ourselves. Because Satan wants to repeat over and over again the failures and mistakes that we've made in the past. He wants to remind us of who we are when we mess up so that we won't have faith to rise up to live the life as a light in this dark world. You may have remembered when we first moved here, I had a nice red truck. I am kind of a nerd sometimes. If you come into my office, if you look at my computer, sometimes you're going to find these long spreadsheets of details and information. And so, what, 5, 6 years ago, we were needing to kind of get a different vehicle. I was taking one kid to school, and in the coming months, I was going to be taking another one. We knew that at least in the next 18 months, it would go from 1 to 2 to 3. And so I needed a different type of vehicle. And Kara believes that if I have a truck, I'm going to be more handy around the house. It is yet to prove true, but she is hopeful and faithful in that. And so I started this nerdy research to find the right truck for our family. And I built this spreadsheet, and I had all of these different details. And wouldn't you know, after several months of plotting this little graph and seeing where these different trucks and cars would fall on the line, I found this one way up in Bozeman, Montana, that was less than any other truck should be. It was actually owned or leased by this retired couple. They used it for just a few months and then returned it back. And for some reason, they were selling it at a huge discount. And so I had just enough miles to fly up there one way, check it out, and it was all as good as it said it was. And I bought it and came home, and I was just tickled pink. We both were really impressed with the way that that whole thing went through. As it turned out, when we got finished with that truck, we were able to sell it off and still kind of came out ahead, which is kind of unusual for a used car. Anyway, here I am, a father of four. In Oklahoma, they didn't have the ocean, they didn't have the hills and the waterfalls and all that kind of stuff, but they did have lakes. And so I thought, for my boys, we need to get to the lake. And I just wanted a boat that I could put them on a tube and kind of pull around the lake for some afternoon and just enjoy. Maybe let them go fishing or do something. I wasn't looking for anything special. But I shared my vision with my wife. And she said, "Matt, you don't know anything about boats." I said, yeah, that's true, but how hard would it be?" And she said, "Matt, we don't have anywhere to park the boat." And I said, yeah, that's true, but..." And every time we'd have this conversation, it would be a yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah. And we never came to a conclusion, I thought. And so one day, I started building my little spreadsheet to find another deal. If God were to bless me with a deal like the boat, then, or like the truck, then the boat would really just go together. And so I started to research quietly, and every once in a while I would have enough courage to engage in a conversation to buy this boat. And it never really got any further than the yeah, but kind of thing. Anyway, one day, as happens in so many homes where I'm running somewhere quickly and she's running somewhere quickly, when the kids have to go somewhere, there's a miscommunication, when I left the socks on the floor, when something didn't happen, I don't remember really what it is. Somehow we just kind of got a little bit at odds with one another. Give me just a little assurance that happens in your household as well, right? Okay. All right. So I'm not talking about, you know, the house is about to fall down, but we just weren't quite seeing eye to eye. And so that morning, I take the kids to school in my truck and enjoying all that. I get to the office, and things are quiet for a moment. I get online, and wouldn't you know, the deal of deals, just like the truck, is right there. I begin a conversation with the seller. And again, you need to know that I am the webmaster, the computer guru at our house. I talk to my family about what is viruses and what's not, how to know when a link is good and when one's just phishing. I go through all these things with all my kids and with my wife. We go over these details. I wasn't seeing clearly. And a few minutes later, I went down to CVS to buy some little prepaid cards to put a hold money on the boat. Because wouldn't you know that the owner of the boat really is going through cancer, but the one who's selling it is an offshore driller, and I don't remember the whole story, but you would know it was a huge red flag if you were seeing clearly. And I would have too, but my eyes weren't fully open. And so now I tell my family that I'm the proud owner of a boat that we will never use because I got scammed. I had to come home that day and pull Kara aside. Tell her that my frustration misled me to put a couple $100 down on a deal that was rotten to the core. good news, bad news. That's not the first time that I've done something dumb. Good news, bad news, that's not the last time. But I want us to have an eye check. I want us to have a heart check this morning. If we are in Christ, if Christ is in us, we've got to see things differently. We've got to look at life differently. And listen to what Paul says, starting with verse 5. He says, put to death. Now, this is going to sound strong and harsh, but listen to really what he's saying. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Matt, if you could have just sacrificed this crazy idea. Matt, if you could have just sacrificed this frustration that was going on, how much better would you and your family be? That's all he's saying. Whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. I want us to notice what Paul is saying because, brothers and sisters, we are susceptible to Satan's attacks. It is so easy for us to get distracted, to get frustrated, to feel like we're a failure, to feel like we can't make it in life. And so one of these shortcomings or shortcuts comes our way and we grab hold of it as if it were our lifesaver, as if we were about to do something grand and noble. I really, for a moment, I'm ashamed to admit this, but for a moment I thought she's going to be so proud when she shows up and that boat is in our driveway. She will see what a great shopper I am. Oh, what a fallacy. What a mistake. What a sinful nature. But don't we do the same thing with these thoughts? Don't we grab hold of a desire that is not right and good? And yet we overlook the obstacles or the dangers or the warnings and we place ourselves right there. I want us to see really with eyes that are open. We are a family, and so why don't we share these temptations or these mistakes? Why don't we celebrate in overcoming these things more like a family should? Boston Marathon happens every year. And every year, as they fire off that starting gun, the whole crowd takes off. And there is one guy who for a couple miles will just push ahead and run a race that is inconceivable. He will set a pattern. He is a no-name runner, but he wants to be in the lead for just a moment. And then around mile four, mile five, he starts to fade back into the pack. And by six or seven, he's not even listed in the top 100. Why do we want to run a race like that? Bernie Madoff, he quote-unquote had everything, but now has lost it all. Wilt Chamberlain, they say, or he says, he had more than 20,000 sexual partners in his life. But now he says he would trade them all if he could just have one who would have truly loved him. The world says that the church is full of hypocrites, and maybe that is true from time to time or from place to place. But think about the world for just a moment that continues to sell us garbage after garbage after garbage and know that it is terrible and it is worthless and it acts like it is the best product. Budweiser continues to tell us that if you would sit down with a case of beer and your friends in your backyard, that great things would happen, but our building is filled day in and day out with those who have been overwhelmed by the abuse of alcohol. Marriages and families are ripped apart by sexual desires. Meanwhile, the songs that we listen to on the radio just get filthier and filthier. They used to just allude to it. Then they started to bleep it. Then they said it. And now they sing about it and they demonstrate it. Our world continues to push things that are unhealthy and ungodly. They are a danger to our soul, and we know it, and yet we participate in it. Paul is writing to us, and he says, put to death these things. And we act like, oh my goodness, it would be terrible if I lost my anger, which is such a great thing in my life. We have Christians who say, this is just the way I am. Deal with it. Paul's saying, put that garbage to death. Stop acting like we can live as the world and still reap the reward. We have Christians who act like they are able to say whatever they want to say. They can put people down because they're online, because they are disconnected from others, and they say things in a slanderous way. They communicate things that are untrue. They push agendas that are not right or loving. And Paul says, put those things to death. Listen to what he says as he continues on. Verse 7. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of such things as these: anger and rage, malice and slander, filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self of its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. Now there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Stop living with division. Stop living with these little bits of sin that you hold on to your life as if it were a prize, and let us live fully in Christ and Christ fully in us. We're going to be a room full of hypocrites if we all walk out of here as if this just went right over our heads, as if this really weren't of value to our lives. Paul gets personal about who we are, and he's calling us to a different way of life. This morning, I want us to see really what he desires for us. In this dress for success, this new attitude, we've taken off this old self and we've been clothed now with this new. And listen to what he says starting in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, put that on your name tag. Put that right there on your chest as you get started tomorrow. I am God's chosen person. I have purpose. I have planning. I have power. I have position. I am with God. God is with me. I am going to live a light, and the light is going to shine through me. What a difference that would make as we go out into our world. Instead of just trying to get ahead for our own sake, for God's glory, we would shine. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has any grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. As members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether it is in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Chapter 3 just points a bunch of fingers right at me, because it's so easy for me to live in a way that I'm wrapped in the sin, I'm wrapped in the selfishness of my own life. And when I'm there, then I totally forget about these attributes that I'm called to display and to live and to grow in, so that I can connect with you, so that you can connect with me. See, this unity that is in Christ is so rich and fulfilling if we are in Christ and Christ is in us. But so often we want this Venn diagram. We want our circles just barely to overlap with Christ. We want Christ to barely overlap with us. But that's not what he's saying. That's not the real reward that he's offering. Put to death all these things and then be clothed in this manner with compassion and gentleness, with love and peace. Give thanks. Let your words be generous and gracious instead of slanderous and filthy. Let your mind be on God instead of this short-lived, short and worthless value. But how do we do that? How do we do that? How can we go after something that seems so distant and far away? How can we live in a manner that we're not accustomed to? A couple weeks ago in our news, there was a car that was stolen. In the back seat was an infant, and so this Amber Alert went out. In short order, the car was found, the child was found, everybody was okay. But it reminded me of the story of down in Dallas. This lady had three small children in the back. She pulls in to get the gas, and while she's standing out, a man comes up to her and demands that she give him her purse. She refuses. So he pushes her aside, he jumps in the car, and he takes off. And as he's taking off, she reaches into the back seat. She pulls out a four-year-old. On the other side is a six-year-old. He jumps out of the car, but in the middle is their 18-month-old baby. And as this man tries to drive away with the third child, Mama Bear just jumps into the window. She's holding on to the steering wheel. She is clawing and scratching at anything that she can get a hold of. He is punching, he is pushing, and he's driving out of the gas station. And this fight ensues over not just the car, but the precious cargo that's in the back. Mama Bear doesn't let go. Mama Bear keeps fighting despite all of the harm that she is receiving. And she presses on so that finally the car veers off the road, goes into a ditch, it kind of stalls out, and the man realizes that he's not getting anywhere with the car, with the money, or with this woman, and so he takes off and he runs away. 30 seconds before, if you would have asked this mom how strong she was, how powerful she was, she probably would have never answered in a scenario like that. Brothers and sisters, in us is the power of Christ, the power of the Almighty who brought Christ up from the dead. And we live with a power that we often fail to utilize as we try to put to death these things that hold us down, as we try to live fully these things that will enhance. This morning, I want us to picture ourselves standing before our Father as He sees us, because He sees us as chosen, He sees us as pure, righteous and redeemed. And that all happens because Christ is in me. Daily I will make that claim to let His will, His life live in me. If there's any way we can help you in your journey, our shepherds are standing by. We would love to pray with you and counsel with you. If you want to dedicate your life right now to Christ, to be baptized with Him, to be clothed in this new garment, our baptistry is waiting. We would love to celebrate with you. This morning, as we recognize the things in our lives that need to change, would we dare to speak those out? To ask for prayer and counsel from our brothers and sisters? To say that as a word of encouragement that we're not alone in this race. If we had time, we'd go around this room, and many of you have bought your own version of a boat. It was nothing but junk. Why do we want to act as if we've got it all figured out? Like we are all perfect when we walked in, and we're all going to be perfect when we walk out. Let us lay those things down before His throne. And let's pick up that new clothes that he's called us to wear. Let's stand together and sing this song.